I hope you'll turn back with me to our New Testament reading this morning, Luke chapter 19. In the church Bibles, it's page 1053. Page 1053, Luke 19, 1 to 10. The famous story of Zacchaeus is the climax of a series of stories that have been telling us about the kingdom of God. And so the gospel writer Luke has been recounting this series of incidents, telling us why Jesus came and how he brings us into God's kingdom. And with Zacchaeus, we reach the culmination of that series. Indeed, verse 10 of our reading summarizes all that we've really learnt in church over the past 6 weeks. If you've missed the last 6 weeks, here's the quick summary. Verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Those are Jesus' words about why he came. Zacchaeus himself is a fascinating character. We do know quite a bit about him. He is very wealthy, for one thing. He's also well known in Jericho, his hometown, well known as a swindler and a cheat. He's a short man, of course, we know that, and despised as a tax collector working for the Romans. Treacherous. But along with all those descriptions, Jesus has another one for him. Lost. He is wealthy, treacherous, irreligious, but most of all, lost. In addition, we also know some positive things about Zacchaeus. He has a determination to investigate spiritual things. He has an open mind about Jesus Christ, about what this Jesus might be teaching. He's prepared to risk criticism, and that is a positive attribute when you want to investigate the things of God. He's prepared to lose his dignity, scampering up a tree to catch a glimpse of Christ. Yes, Zacchaeus appears to have a genuine interest, a genuine openness to the message of Jesus, the gospel. Why? Why did this man set out to discover Jesus of Nazareth? We can't be sure, but one guess is that he has been persuaded by his colleagues at the revenue office. There are 6 references to tax collectors in Luke's gospel, and all of them are favorable. We find people like Levi, the tax collector, leaving his customs booth and following Jesus back in chapter 5. Has Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, been persuaded by his friends and colleagues to seek out this new rabbi, Jesus, to investigate for himself the truth about God, to hear what this Jesus has to say about forgiveness? Is that what makes him so determined to search out the gospel? Because he's been witnessed to by his friends. It could be. When someone you know becomes a Christian and their life is turned around, that can be a very powerful incentive to seek out the truth yourself. And that's what Zacchaeus does. He hears that Jesus is coming to Jericho, and so full of curiosity, he runs like a schoolboy ahead of the crowd and climbs a sycamore fig tree. That's a little eyewitness detail recorded by Luke, which grounds our story in history. The type of tree, the sycamore fig, only found in a certain region in the world. Let's think about the call of the Savior and then the conversion of the sinner. So the call of the Savior. As is always the case, Jesus takes charge. Jesus takes command. Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus may have been looking for Jesus, but certainly Jesus was looking for him. Human nature does not really look for the Savior. By nature, we tend to hide from God, like Adam in the garden, hiding from the Lord after his disobedience. Instead, God looks for us. And as Jesus passes the sycamore fig tree, with the crowd pressing in all around him, he looks up and he sees this little man, possibly not the only one sitting in the branches of the tree, and calls to him by name, "Zacchaeus, come down." Jesus knows who he's speaking to. He uses his name. He knows he's a rogue, a rascal, a renegade. Jesus is not blind to Zacchaeus' faults, and still he calls him. Jesus is not blind to any of our faults. He knows all about us, every embarrassing, sinful detail. He knows exactly who he is dealing with. But remember, he has come to seek and to save what was lost. It is mind-boggling, but God is calling lost sinners. Interesting that Jesus calls him to come down immediately. Verse 5. Immediately, right away. There's no time to lose. I must stay at your house today. And this is always Jesus' call, his command. Salvation must come to your house today. Verse 9 as well. Jesus never calls us to receive him tomorrow. It is always today. In just over a week's time, Jesus will be hanging on a Roman cross next to a penitent thief. "Today you will be with me in paradise," he says. "Today, because you have asked me to remember you. Today, because you have responded in repentance and faith. Today, now is the day of salvation. It's not to be put off. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart." So Zacchaeus comes down from his perch quickly, and he goes to entertain the Lord. And all this is absolutely astonishing to the crowd and highly disturbing. They murmur and mutter against Jesus. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Verse 7, a notorious sinner and cheat. But why do they murmur like this? It is surely because they cannot take in God's generosity. They know what this man Zacchaeus is like. He's infamous, disreputable, and yet Jesus is calling him. The crowd murmur because they cannot comprehend God's big-heartedness. They cannot fathom Jesus' willingness to restore Zacchaeus to a good relationship with God. But Jesus demonstrates this sort of generous, compassionate mercy time and time again. In Luke's gospel, he graciously calls scandalous sinners like Levi and Mary Magdalene. No one is beyond the pale. And even as he goes to his death on the cross, out of love for people like us, the disciples cannot comprehend his generosity. They cannot understand why he must die. They cannot understand God's amazing kindness and grace and mercy. But the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. That is why he came, to be generous. The Son of Man is a title Jesus has taken for himself from the Old Testament. In the book of Daniel, the Son of Man is an awesome divine figure of authority and judgment, a powerful, mighty figure who can do anything. And last week we read how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, but what is impossible with men is possible with God." And here is a real-life rich man. Verse 2. Rich man, wealthy, Zacchaeus. And now God is doing the impossible. Jesus is God. The powerful Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus was lost, and Jesus is seeking and saving him. And to Zacchaeus, Jesus' authoritative call is irresistible. Jesus is looking for us, seeking for us, calling us. He's like a shepherd, a good shepherd calling his sheep. Don't hide from him. If you discern the Spirit moving you to turn to Christ, to trust in him today, don't hide from him. He's calling you to follow him. Every time we read the Bible, he's calling us. Every time we hear a preacher proclaim the gospel, we can hear his voice. He's doing it now as we read this chapter. You may or may not be looking for him, but he's certainly looking for you. Whatever your past, Jesus knew all about Zacchaeus, and he was still calling him. Come to him. Come down from the tree. Hear his gracious, generous, powerful call. The call of the Saviour, and now the conversion of the sinner. There's no doubt Zacchaeus was a complete rogue. When he says in verse 8, if I have cheated anybody, it really means if I've cheated anyone and I have. If I've defrauded anyone and I have. He was chief tax collector in Jericho, which was a large frontier town. There was ample opportunity for him to line his own pockets, and he did. Zacchaeus had been a cheat and a scoundrel. Everyone knew it. He may have been up the tree to avoid getting an elbow in the face or a knife in the back. He was a rogue. And rogues who turn to religion are always suspect. The cynical world always mutters when it hears about people like Jonathan Aitken, the former cabinet minister, who was disgraced and sent to prison and who then became a Christian. The world mutters and murmurs when a Charles Colson, Richard Nixon's right-hand man, implicated in the Watergate scandal and sent to prison, when someone like that turns to Christ. There's hostile derision and sometimes disgust even when a rogue turns to religion. The cynics don't believe that their conversion can be true. And yet I know from talking to prison chaplains that it does often happen. How do we know when it is true? Well, for one thing, the convert receives Jesus Christ. We mustn't skip over that. It's absolutely fundamental. The new Christian has received Jesus. Like the children in the previous chapter, we must receive the kingdom of God like a little child, says Jesus. Zacchaeus receives the person of Jesus Christ into his home. Verse 6, he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. He received him. He welcomed him. Now, we don't receive Jesus physically like that. We receive him by the Holy Spirit. We do. A new Christian receives Jesus into their heart and into their life. Notice we don't necessarily get more religious. The likelihood is we will get less religious. And we don't just try to live a better life either, although that will come to Zacchaeus later. First and foremost, we receive the person of Jesus. We say yes to him. Have you done that? We get to know him as Lord and Savior and friend as we read his word and pray to him. We didn't know him before, but now we have received him. And we receive him with joy. Verse 6. Zacchaeus receives Jesus gladly, joyfully, immediately. He doesn't delay. He can't wait. He takes his opportunity. He doesn't put it off for another day. He doesn't make excuses. Jesus must have heard many excuses. He told the parable about the king inviting guests to a banquet, and one by one they made excuses. Jesus must have based that parable on his own personal experience, on the excuses people gave him as they delayed following him. And people come up with all sorts of excuses. But Zacchaeus doesn't. He gives Jesus a glad welcome, not a reluctant one. Now, it is possible to receive Jesus gladly for a while and for that not really to last. Like the parable of the sower. Remember, there were some who received the seed which fell on rocky ground, with joy. They received the word with joy, but it had no root, so it did not last. But we know that it did last with Zacchaeus, because Luke has written down this episode many years after it actually happened. Luke has carefully investigated and carefully interviewed his sources. He tells us that at the start of his gospel. Perhaps he had interviewed Zacchaeus himself. And certainly he would only include Zacchaeus by name if he was still going on as a Christian at the time Luke wrote. Yes, Luke knew the genuine nature of this conversion story. Zacchaeus did receive Jesus with joy, and he stayed with him, stayed in the kingdom. Not like the rich ruler from last week, the rich ruler who went away sad, not glad. The rich ruler went away unwilling to follow Jesus, unwilling to pay the cost. He went away sad, downcast. Not so Zacchaeus. They were both rich, but for Zacchaeus, money would no longer be his idol. He receives Jesus joyfully, gladly, immediately. And we also know his conversion is a true one because of his response to Jesus in his home. Zacchaeus receives and then responds in that order. Verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." We notice there that Zacchaeus is now addressing Jesus as Lord. He has received him as Savior and also as Lord. He's chosen to obey Jesus as his master, his Lord. And that's what happens when you become a Christian. We receive him not just as Savior, but also as Lord. And so we obey all that he teaches us in his word. It means that for Zacchaeus, an absolute reformation is beginning to take place in his life. And even just the thought of entertaining Christ with a meal paid for by fraud now repulses Zacchaeus. He promises to make full restitution to compensate his victims. Reparation begins to take place. It's really an expression of thanks because of what Jesus has done. And this is what happens when you come to Christ. You want to thank him. So you do have to count the cost, because he's going to change everything. Conversion means new life, new habits, new opinions, new behavior. It does. You are a new creation. Repentance is never just saying sorry to God. The word repentance means turn around. You were going one way, and you turn around, you're now going the other. Life is turned upside down, or rather the right way up. For each of us, repentance will mean something different, but it will always lead to action. Because as the Bible says, by their fruit you will know them. By the evidence of their changed lives, Christians will be distinguished from the world. Following Christ cost Zacchaeus a packet. But he's not buying his way into heaven. If that were possible, then it would be easy for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And it's not. No, riches are dangerous. They appear to give us security. They make it difficult for us to take in our lostness. Whatever we are rich in, money, power, brains, personality, riches are dangerous. Zacchaeus, giving them away, shows his genuine conversion. It's the fruit of his salvation. He's put his money where his mouth is. Yes, the world can be cynical when a rogue turns to religion, even if it costs him. But against the cynic is the assessment of Jesus Christ. verse 9. Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. Salvation has come to Zacchaeus' house. Jesus says so. He now belongs to the people of God by faith, as Abraham did. And if Jesus says so, then it is so. This man is truly saved. This man is rescued. Salvation came to Zacchaeus' house, walking on two feet as he received and responded to Christ. When a new day begins, you never know how it will end. Could Zacchaeus have anticipated how this particular life-changing day could have gone? The seeking man was found. The small man became spiritually big. The cheat became a benefactor. The host became a guest of Jesus Christ. All because he received and responded to Christ immediately when he got the chance. Don't be left up the tree or halfway up it when the Savior calls. There are lots of reasons why people might hesitate to receive Jesus, but none of them make sense in the light of eternity. Welcome Jesus. Receive him. Respond to him. Zacchaeus got it right. That's why Luke has selected him out of all the people who must have spoken to Christ. He was seeking for Jesus, and Jesus was seeking for him. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Let us pray.